Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wig.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing fine. I'm pulling through. I really thought today was Friday when I woke up, so that was a tough hump to get over, but
especially since it's payday, and so it's not Friday and it's not payday. So that's double unfortunate. That's terrible.
Wow. Okay. Well, now I have something to look forward to. At least, I guess. I did. I will say I didn't watch New Jersey last night. I just like I was really tired and I was like, okay, I guess I'll watch it. And then I kind of like put my head down and it was like 9:15 and I was like, I have to save it for the morning. It was a great episode. So it was a good way to start the day. Let's just get right into it, shall we?
We should.
So this episode, we are picking back up at Lake George, obviously. We've just had the first dinner where Teresa is basically like clearly not in the mood to apologize to Jackie. She's like, yeah, fuck Jackie. Like, she talked about my daughter. So it's a new day. It's a new day in Lake George, and everybody seems to be in good spirits.
Yeah, I am in agreement with the other ladies. I'm glad they're handling this the right way, but we cannot talk about this situation anymore. Like, Teresa is trying to tell them that she's right. They are all trying to tell her that she is not right. And it is actually wild. So I'm thinking in my head, is Teresa watching this? Because maybe when you watch it from a different viewpoint, like she'll maybe understand, but I, in my head, cannot understand how she thinks in any way, shape, or form she is right in this situation. Like, it is just mind-boggling.
I agree.
I can't.
I agree. But the thing is, from the opposite angle, I also think Jackie is like a little bit the same, where when they're calling her, it's kind of like, yeah, like, it would make things a lot better if she just said, like, sorry, I said Gia does cocaine. Like, I see, yes. I definitely, like, I think both of them are kind of being stubborn here. Teresa obviously started it, but I do think it's hard because Jackie's not on this trip. It's like, we're not actually going to make any headway here. Like, because Teresa's not going to call Jackie. She's not going to call Evan while they're on this trip. So it's like, why don't we just find something else to talk about? And then you and Jackie can like duke it out once you get back to Jersey.
I think that I might pay money to watch Teresa call Evan if that ever happens. Like, they could like make money on that, because that's something I would definitely sign up for to hear or see. Literally, or whatever it is. But
when they were talking about that, I was like, I can't even imagine Teresa calling Evan Goldschneider. Like, I can't imagine like what they would say to each other, like how that would go. Even just like, they are just on such different frequencies as people. I can't imagine it. But so they're honestly, they're having like a really fun day at the lake. They go to this little like waterside restaurant thing. They're having some drinks. They're talking about sex. And they're going on this tiki boat, which looked scary to me, but I guess fun. I would like to go on this trip with them.
I would. The tiki boat I would maybe opt out for because it seemed a bit rocky for me, but it's fine. It looked fun, but it was in. Yeah.
It felt like one of those boats where it's basically just a raft on the water with
a bar. It didn't look sturdy is what I should say, but it was interesting because, you know, when Melissa and Teresa get some drinks in them, they start like having fun and talking and they were talking about this one night that Joe went out and bumped into Teresa and they happened to have gone to a strip club together, but neither one of them told Melissa. They were both like, I'm not telling her. So then they decided to play a prank back on Joe, which, by the way, I just want to call this out. During all of the commercials and all of the previews for this episode, I knew this was not real. I don't know about you, but I knew that this had some, I didn't know like the background behind it, but when they kept saying like your wife has been texting, I was like, there's no fucking way. Like we would have known about this. Like this seems like bizarre, but like,
I will say I did not think about it that hard before the episode. So I kind of just took it at face value. And I was a little bit annoyed when we finally kind of got to this point and I was like, oh
yeah, I didn't wait. It's not like I thought about it, it's that they showed the same preview like 18 times and I was like, okay, we get it, we're gonna tune in, thank you so much.
So when they were showing this in the preview, I kept thinking like, oh, she's gonna fuck with another marriage, but like, she doesn't hate Joe and Melissa that much, and I should have known that. Like, she has her issues with Melissa, but she's not like out to ruin her life.
Yeah, she texts, if we're gonna do Teresa, she texts her brother Joe and says that Melissa got the number of the owner of the restaurant. They've been texting all day. So Joe, they call like one of that. They call each other. And now Joe is speaking in Italian. And Melissa is like, oh, my God, like he believes her, like he, because he doesn't want, he's like freaking out. But Teresa making this phone call was the most impressive thing I've ever seen. And then Melissa was like, okay, tell us how you really feel, because she didn't stop for like 5 straight minutes. She was just going and going and going with this lie, but it was all in good fun, obviously, but it was like a little too,
she knows a little bit too much what she would say if this was a real situation. She's like, well, you know how Melissa is. She's so flirty and then she's talking and like, no, I wasn't watching her the whole time. Like, how am I supposed to know?
Oh my God.
Joe is getting really heated. And it was so hilarious to watch because you can tell that there's just like one little ounce of truth in there of like Teresa kind of wishes she could do this for real to Melissa.
You just hit it spot on when you said like she had in her head what she would say if like she needed to. This was like her ammo. But when Margaret said, I never thought I'd put these two words in the same sentence, Teresa is a genius. I laughed out loud on my couch because it was so good. And to be honest, I have to say, Jennifer, which what the hell? This voice of reason came from so out of left field that I'm almost not liking it, but I love it. She had a good point because she said, Jackie is not on this trip because of what went on with the cheating and rumors and talking about her. So we're going to even joke about this right now with another couple. Like, are you guys kidding? And I was like, Jennifer, namaste. This is like,
you know what? It's a little bit like, it's almost like Jennifer and Dolores have switched roles for a second because Dolores is the one who's like, I don't get why Jackie's upset. Like Teresa just said, so like, if it's not real, just move on. And I'm like, Dolores, like Jackie has a right to be upset that Teresa is like spreading cheating rumors. It is funny though, seeing Jennifer this season so far, I commented on it in the first episode, how it was funny that she wasn't really involved in the drama, but it's weird to see now 3 episodes in that she still is kind of like holding Teresa accountable a little bit and not just kind of, cause last season it was so like, she was like Teresa's soldier almost, that it was like whatever Teresa needed, she was going to be like very loud and vocal about.
But here's the thing. So she's involving, I know we have other stuff to talk about too, but since we're on Jennifer, she's involving herself now in drama, which is what I've been waiting for, to be honest. And she's claiming, so she's talking to Dolores and she's claiming that her and Melissa, you know, have kind of like moved past their issues, but she was saying how she heard a rumor. And I was like, Jennifer, were you not the one just saying that they shouldn't be talking about rumors? Like, what's going on? She told Dolores while Melissa was in the bathroom right next to them that Michelle, who is this common denominator now, Teresa's realtor, and they all know each other, that Joe Gorga owes him money. And it's like tens of thousands of dollars. But in her defense, it kind of seemed like she wasn't talking shit a little bit. She was kind of asking Dolores for advice of what to do because her and Melissa just meet up and now she has this information. So
I agree. It's interesting because from when they were filming, I know that Michelle was somebody who they were kind of filming with. She was maybe going to be in the cast. Obviously she didn't end up really making the main group, but it's interesting because if this ends up being more of a storyline, it's going to be like, okay, like, can we hear from Michelle, like, if she's there? But it's so funny that this, I didn't know if it was like a real estate thing. I had heard like an inkling of this storyline. The fact that it stems from Michelle's husband speaking at Joe's like growing with Gorga, like personal, like self-help event is so funny to me. And it's also hilarious that Jennifer brings up something which I didn't think we were going to hear about on the show, which was when Joe posted these kitchen renovation photos on Instagram and they were like, you know, supposedly something that his company had done, and then it was found that these were just like random photos from online that were not his. And I love that Jennifer brought this up in the confessional because it's one of those things that it's like, ah, yes, I remember when that happened on Instagram. What a great little moment.
I do remember, but they're the type, like, can we save Melissa and Joe? Like, for in this fact, for all New Jersey, like, we love everyone on New Jersey. I think we do, right? Like, we love, like, I don't like
pretty much.
I love all of them to the point where, like, I wouldn't want something like that to ruin, like, Joe and his company. You know what I mean? Because he's, like, he's been with us forever.
Yeah. Now that Beverly's gone, I would say I pretty much am a fan of everyone on Jersey. So it's funny, like,
sorry,
this is something where it's, we don't know yet kind of where it's going to go or how it's going to unfold. But it is nice that we kind of now have one dramatic plot line that's not related to Teresa and Jackie, because we can sense so far that that has been kind of the thread, but it feels like it's getting strained already.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
So then we're back at the house. But before we get to dinner, let's talk about the guys' poker night, which, I mean, these scenes really just make Real Housewives of New Jersey what it is. Nowhere else can we see all the husbands in one of their basements eating sushi. Frank eats a big thing of wasabi and his face is just absolutely priceless.
I was like, guys, like, maybe give him some water. Like, I don't think, he doesn't look like he can handle that much wasabi. Like, he was as bright as red as a tomato and sweating. I was like, Frank, did you not know what wasabi like is or does or like what it's for? I don't understand. But yeah, these guys together, That I would have rather watched them for another 20 minutes, to be honest, because their vibe was just so fun and loose and like relaxing, except there, I don't know. It stressed me out a little bit, I should say. Also, Melissa and Joe's basement, he goes, go straight through the wine room to the right. And there's the poker room. I was like, what the fuck? Like, why are they moving out of this house? First of all, I would want to stay there forever. It seems like a fairy tale.
Well, I need the full floor plan because I want to know where this is in relation to Melissa's recording studio. I don't know if that's still down there or if that was swapped out for the poker room at some point.
I think that actually it sounds like a good possibility, to be honest.
Wait, actually, I think I looked at the real estate listing when they were selling the house, and I think the recording studio was still there, if I recall correctly. there's probably a screenshot like deep in my camera roll. Maybe I'll find it. But yeah, it's interesting at this poker night, Evan is not there. And kind of the biggest development is that Joe Bonino, he says that he heard rumors about Evan too, like kind of like what Teresa was sharing. But to me, it's unclear if he means he heard it like before Teresa had said something, or if he means that he's just kind of like heard other people talking about it generally, because at this point it's like out there in the open, so well, I don't know.
My take on that was that if Evan said no to you guys just being nice and having him come over after he sees this episode, I can't imagine Evan hanging out with them like ever again, which is like unfortunate. But yeah, the fact that Joe kind of like nailed it in that it had, he's heard it too, again, I'm not to say whether it's true or not. I don't know. I never heard it other than Teresa. But like Frank Catania now taking a vote at the table of who thinks he has a girlfriend. Oh, and also, sorry, another detail. Frank Catania, how many like were there? Like, was there one? Was there two? What'd they look like? And Bill's like, Frank wants in on it. Like, Frank wants like to know who the girlfriend, potential girlfriend is. Like, he doesn't care if Evan's cheating. He wants to know the details of the women. The alleged women, which is such a typical Frank thing to do.
Yeah, it's interesting because they do, this kind of sets the scene for, I feel like we could have some drama between the guys if Evan kind of catches wind that Joe Bonino was being kind of messy, like for him to say like, yeah, I heard it. Like, I'm curious to see where that goes. Cause obviously Margaret has been very much a support system to Jackie throughout this. So we'll see. But back in Lake George, we are having dinner and I love that they've like ordered takeout to the house. That's a very relatable pandemic vibe. But again, we're talking about Jackie and Teresa because Margaret and Melissa have called Jackie and once again, they're like, okay, so Teresa's not going to say she's sorry. So maybe you should say you're sorry. And Jackie's like, no, Teresa doesn't need to say sorry to me. She needs to say sorry to Evan. And
yeah,
I mean, it's just nobody's being realistic here.
I mean, it's crazy because they both need to apologize for the same thing, basically. But Teresa is looking at it differently. She's like, I didn't start the rumor. And they're like, no, but you told everyone in the same vicinity and you didn't tell Jackie. And you just need to like acknowledge that. You need to stop saying that Jackie's upset. So there must be something there. No, she's upset because a grown woman said something about her marriage. And like you said earlier with Dolores, like no one's to tell anyone what they can and cannot feel. I think that's very bizarre. Like, mm-hmm. because you would handle it differently, Dolores, like, obviously we know Dolores has, and Teresa both have been through this in real life. They have. So because you handled it a different way doesn't mean that Jackie has to handle it that way also. But I do have to say that last night on Watch It Happens Live, Jackie did again reiterate that she, like, meant no harm to Gia. She apologized like it was an analogy. She learned her lesson. She'll never do that again. But she did. She was like, Gia herself is not involved in this. She goes, oh my God. I was like, Jackie, stop. She was like, Gia has never done drugs before. I was like, stop talking about Gia and drugs. Just stop.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I do. Yeah. When Teresa, so she's calling Jackie weak and spineless. And it's interesting that all of a sudden this is kind of her like go-to tactic for talking about Jackie is calling her weak. And, you know, she's just a weak bitch. And that's why I can't deal with her, which is just like not actually how Jackie comes across. But she also is saying that the cheating rumors about Joe, when those happened, they never bothered me. And of course, for the 100th time this season, we get the flashback to Teresa screaming at Kim D about not talking about her marriage. And it's like, Teresa, I don't know what Teresa thinks we haven't seen over the years, but she clearly forgot about this specific moment. And she says, she has a couple of great little lines this episode. In the first one, I swear to God, I'm going to blow my casket.
And that you see all of their faces. They all look, because she was like in such a heated moment making a point, and then like you just messed it up and everyone just starts hysterically laughing. They can't take you seriously because you can't even like come through 100%, because that was funny though. It was such a typical Teresa line.
And then my personal favorite, though, was later at the campfire. They're talking about s'mores and Teresa says graham crapper.
Like, come on. It. Like, I feel like that was a slip up, to be honest, because she has to know
it's not a crapper and a chocolate.
It's not. But I'm excited for them. Although this trip has been very fun. Like, it's time for them to come back to Jersey, and like, it's time for Jackie to join the crew again. And I want to move on from this.
So it'll be interesting to see when they do come back, if Jackie is kind of like cool with everyone but Teresa, or if there's like bigger issues. Cause it's hard when everyone is on a trip together and you're the only person that's not there. Teresa's acting like everyone is coming for her on this trip, but they're not really. Like, honestly, nobody is being that hard on her given the drama she's caused.
I mean, I agree. When she freaked out at dinner, I was like, this is a bit much. Like, here we go again with the word attack. No one is attacking you. It's called the conversation. Right, when she was like, it's not five against one. Like,
when she says they're all assholes and storms away from the table, immediately Dolores and Jennifer are like, wait, we're not assholes. Like, we didn't do anything.
No, yeah.
Like,
we're literally just sitting there. I also don't think even the people who did say something they're not wrong. Like, you can be like, either, I know it's hard because it's Teresa and we can't tell her like how to act or behave, but you could have been like, I don't want to talk about this right now. Let's just enjoy dinner. But she was like, her way of exiting was very typical.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students? It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's talk about Dallas.
Yeah.
Honestly, kind of a similar episode.
Yeah.
They're still on vacation. They go on a boat. There's, you know, some misunderstandings. So the main kind of dynamic this week is basically Tiffany versus everyone but Deandra, which there was just some unfortunate shit going on this week. Well, it was kind of tough.
Yeah, like when they started off at that dinner and Cameron told Tiffany she doesn't like to be corrected, I feel like we've just like heard this before. And part of me is like, okay, I agree, because it can get frustrating after a while. Cause Tiffany was like, I'm just telling you because like you said it wrong. And I was like, Tiffany, oh my God. Okay. But like, move on. But Cameron at the same time, I'm sorry. I know I just said, can't tell people how to feel, but like, she does need to stop being so sensitive with every single little thing. Like, like, I feel like if you say, like, Cameron, that you have a grass stain on your skirt, she'll be like, well, you know, like, I don't appreciate you telling me, like, I have a grass stain on my skirt. Like, that's exactly how I portray Cameron. And so I can see how, I'm sorry, that was a terrible example, but I feel
don't tell me about my skirt.
Exactly. So I can see both sides in this situation. I can see how Tiffany, being as educated as she is, find it frustrating that people aren't speaking correctly, but I can also see how it gets annoying to be corrected constantly in front of people. So
I agree. I think I sort of see Cameron's point for, you know, not like, I'm not like 100%
right
team Cameron, but I get it. And I think Tiffany realizes after kind of the end of this conversation that there are certain instances where it's like, yeah, you don't need to correct Cameron's words. Like, you're not like her book editor. Like, she's just talking.
Exactly.
And I think with Tiffany, like, she says that she, you know, Stephanie's bringing up again her pizza party, which I feel like that has been kind of beaten into the ground.
Yeah.
But I mean, Tiffany really, I think, does a good job of explaining that she's not used to hosting and that, like, rules make her feel like she is more in control of what's going on. And I think that is kind of like a perfectly normal explanation. And I think it's good that they can talk about that to get on the same page. But then later in the episode, it's like we see Brandy's issues with Tiffany, which are just completely made up.
So and it's stupid. Like,
okay, that's the difference, is that, like, Cameron has an actual reason to sort of feel uneasy around Tiffany because she feels like she's been corrected, whereas we have the opposite situation where Tiffany has honestly kind of done more than she needs to do to make Brandy feel comfortable, and Brandy is still just, like, in her head in a way that is really uncomfortable around Tiffany.
Yeah, I mean, I see that Brandy doesn't still feel 100% comfortable around Tiffany, which is normal. I mean, listen, she still feels a little bit of anxiety around her, which I get, but because she, like, did mess up, even though they did make up, like, it'll probably take some time. But what she did with the pills, like, was actually so beyond dumb that I can't even fathom, because Tiffany didn't do anything in that sort where she literally goes, oh wait, no, these are just different than what you had on the boat. In who in the world thought that Tiffany was accusing her of, like, giving out different pills? And then the way she put her phone down, I thought something actually, God forbid, happened. I was like, did she just get new? Like, what happened? And then she goes, okay, fine, I'll just tell you. And I was like, wait, that's what you were just mad about? What?
I think it's hard because, like you were saying, like, I don't think there's anything, I think it's normal to be kind of in your head if you've had sort of a weird start with someone, mm-hmm. or you have this stuff in your past. Like, it makes sense that you would maybe be overthinking things or whatever, but there's a difference between being in your own head about it and actually, you know, letting that affect your relationship with that person in a way that's really unfair. I mean, Tiffany has been nothing but nice to Brandy, and I actually, like, thought it was kind of unfortunate the way this season started, where they basically forced Tiffany to have this, like, racism conversation with Brandy the first time they were ever hanging out. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Tiffany actually was super gracious to Brandy and has never really brought it up again. And so for Brandy to say that she doesn't feel like she can be herself around Tiffany and that she's, like, worried about offending her, it's like, if anything, Tiffany has given you, like, less reason to be worried than she should. Like,
right.
If I, like, honestly, Brandy probably should watch what she says, but Tiffany hasn't said anything to make her feel that way.
Right.
Like,
if
you feel like you have to be, like, hyper vigilant so that you don't say something racist, like, that's on you. That's not Tiffany's fault.
Right. But then we also see them, like, at dinner, and she says dead serious to her, do you feel like, I feel you're holding back. Like, do you feel weird around me? And this was so crazy how Tiffany was like, I love hanging out with you. You're smart. You're funny. You're, like, you know, make me laugh. What do you think about me? And I was like, oh my God. I got chills because, but I mean, of course, they cut it off. Yeah, they cut it off.
That end of the episode, I mean, a classic editing technique, but the specific vibe of that table, it sent like a little bit of a chill down my spine, because I'm like, God damn, like, okay.
Well, because I mean, Tiffany kind of, from our perspective, Tiffany kind of deaded this. She was like, this is like, we're good. So unless you have a problem with me, let me know.
Right. And I think it's at the point where it's like, I get why Brandy maybe has like some kind of trepidation.
Yeah.
But at this point, Tiffany has basically gone above and beyond to be like, girl, you don't have to worry about me. Like, we're cool. Mm-hmm. So if you still have a problem, then it is 100% your problem.
Right.
It just sucks because I feel like Tiffany, she's had a couple of sort of like missteps, I guess, this season in terms of like, yeah, like the hosting the pizza party. We've talked about the crickets, like all of that. But in general, I feel like she is bringing so much to the table as a first season housewife. And it sucks that this drama that she's like consistently swept up in really has nothing to do with her. And it's not because of anything she's actually done.
Yeah. I mean, I think that once we get over this hump, we'll be fine. And Tiffany will like really start to, I know, me too. Like, she even said she's really excited to have her talk with her boss next week and like start to work one day a week. And she wants to like start going on lunches with the ladies once a week and like start like making time for herself and her family. And I'm actually like happy that it's going in this direction. And she's realizing that like she needs to start like living and not dedicating all of her time to her work, even though we appreciate it because she's helping people, but still.
Yes. And I think it's one of those things where I actually really liked the conversation she had with Stephanie and Cameron when they were on that hike. Mm-hmm. First of all, how fucking hilarious that Cameron went to an outdoor middle school and slept in a tent for a month. Like,
I'm
what?
Sorry. Maybe I'm live under a rock, but like, I didn't know outdoor schools existed.
I knew people who went to private schools that were like, that did a lot of outdoor activities. I don't know about living in a tent for a month, but I think it's really interesting because Tiffany is really different from basically anyone, career-wise, from basically anyone who's been on Housewives or is definitely in this cast. And to hear her kind of talk about how she's in an opposite place where Cameron and Stephanie have always kind of just been stay-at-home moms, mostly at home, not really working. And they're both craving more responsibility and more, you know, kind of stuff going on in their lives. And I think that's the kind of beauty of these shows and these groups, is that these people that don't necessarily have a lot in common in their day-to-day lives can actually like get on the same page and really understand each other. And I wish, yeah, the Brandy dynamic is just kind of like weighing it down at this point. And also this episode, we had a really nice moment with Carrie and Deidre. Yeah. They actually seem to have kind of squashed their beef, which I don't know if that'll last, but like, it's like other than Brandy's issues with Tiffany, this cast actually seems to be in a really good place with each other.
Seems so. If you ask me, it didn't feel so genuine from Carrie's side. And I could tell you kind of agree. No, but I mean, we'll see. It might just have been like, you know, sometimes people don't feel comfortable in those situations where they are forced and whatever. But I feel like that was very much needed. Like that moment was needed between the two of them. So I agree. I hope it stays like that. And you're right. I'm like, wait, the cast can't all be friends. It doesn't work like that. That's not
they
good.
They did. I thought it was fun. I don't remember them doing this before, how they edited Carrie and Deandra's confessionals to show them overlapping, saying the exact same things about their friendship. Like, you know, you hurt the people you love most. And like, we need to just like move forward and stop hurting each other. And like, I agree that it felt a little bit maybe, it's like a little bit staged, where it's like, okay, we're on the trip. We had our big fight. Like, now we're going to have our moment where we forgive each other.
Yeah.
So I do think like it'll be really interesting for the second half of this season if that, you know, if that holds up, or if it's just like a nice moment that they needed to have on the trip. But I don't know. I did enjoy this episode. Like, I am enjoying the season of Dallas, but the Brandy stuff is just, it's tough. It's like, really? Well, we're doing this again?
You know what? She probably felt the same way, and that is why she made her exit last week.
I know. I know. It is interesting, like, watching this, because, I mean, Brandy's been on Dallas since the beginning, and so it's weird watching now, knowing that this is, like, the last season she's going to be on. It's like, she's not actually, she's not making herself look great right now. So
I know, right?
We'll see.
But this was a fun episode. We chatted a lot and got a lot. We chatted a bunch. We got so much done today, but like, we still have so much more to talk about.
We're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Below Deck sailing premiere tomorrow. Yay. We wanted to have time, and Summer House, of course. So yeah, come back tomorrow, and thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Betches.